praise your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Classes, you can be dismissed. Others seated. I don't know you that grew up in church. I don't know what kind of church you were used to. You know, mine, I always have good things to say about it. But I like this better. Not to say that the old-time way was the best way. It was good, and I have fond memories of it. But I really like church now. It's done a little bit differently. It's not that we're better, but maybe I'm paying more attention than I used to, because my favorite thing in church as a kid was to have a pen or pencil and some paper to draw on. So probably I'm paying more attention to it. But I'm thankful that as we progress with electronic such measures, that the church advances also. Well, in other words, we're not using flannel graphs anymore. And that was my favorite thing. I mean, I walk in a classroom with flannel graph and, oh, it was going to be a good day. And we have PowerPoints and so forth now. And, so, you know, so we've kept up with it. But I don't believe that we are one bit behind what we had when I was growing up. While we're worshiping, there's real worship. And it's not an automatic thing, you know, to where we're robotic, but there's actually passion in our praise, and I really appreciate it. I love the church. I love this church. Amen. I'm looking forward to maybe a Sunday, this coming Sunday, where more people are here. We had another great crowd, but we had a great crowd missing. And I told a friend of mine, I told our church that it was neat. I said it was a positive thing, and it's not positive, but is that we missed two Sundays ago. We were missing 96 regular members, and we had over 120 here. And this past Sunday, we were only missing 70 or 84, I think it was, Sister Michelle said. That's regular members. That's people that are here most of the time. And so, Lord, if we have everybody here, I don't know what we'll do. We're going to have parking attendants. Amen. I mean, you got to find the silver lining. And amen, silver lining somewhere. I don't have this scripture I'm about to read to you on my list, Brother Sonye, but I want to read it. Don't worry about looking it up. But it's 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him," or yea, "and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." And you may have heard it quoted, "All the promises of God are yea and amen." And it's not misquoting, it's getting the same point across. But everything that God has for us, what that's saying is positive. All the promises of God are good things. The word of God is called the good news. The word gospel, the word means good news. And so, driving down the road this week, I had my wife, I said, just take my phone and go to my note page and just type in the words add to your faith. I just type that in and that'll be enough, because I want it to remind me. And I hope I remembered the gist of what I was feeling at the time. But then I just remembered the scripture standing over there, all the promises of God are yea and in him amen. That's all positive. That's a plus. Everything that the Lord does for us is a positive thing. His instruction is positive, even his correction. He corrects those that he loves, and love is a positive thing. He's bringing about something better out of our life. And so my title today, my lesson tonight, is add to your faith. That's positive. That's a plus. Add to your faith. And I believe today that it's God's will that from the time we start out living for him, there is intentional addition going on. There's positive steps that we take. We realize that. You don't work at a job and hope in 10 years that you're making the same money and you're at the same position. But depending on your line of work, you want to get there and move up. And one of the first questions you may ask the one doing the hiring, and you may ask them, what opportunities are there for me to move up? And I heard somebody tell the man hiring them one time, he was the boss, and he says, "Where do you want to be in 10 years? He goes, "I want to be sitting where you are." And that was probably the wrong thing, because that meant he had to go. You could see that either way. You know, well, I'm hoping you're owner of the company in New York and I'm in your place. Maybe that would work out. But I believe our aim needs to always be to increase in whatever we do, because God's promises, his nature is that way. He's a God that adds. And Romans 11:33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We cannot get to the end of it. We will never get to the place where we say we finally figured God out. We've got him in this category and we know he's awesome to about the third degree, maybe the fourth degree. We'll never be able to put numbers on how great he is, because in your circumstance, he's going to be there for you. As much as you allow him to have control of your life, he's going to be there for you. I will say, and the thing that kind of prompted me in this direction, I will say it's not a positive thing if in 5 or 10 years we're at this level, individuals, if you're still in the same place, having the same issues. I believe it's necessary that we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We grow, we add to what we are. If we don't add, I really think that we don't stand still. I don't think we can stand still on a plateau. I believe we decline. If I'm never growing, I'm declining, because life is going by, and each day that goes by, I'm losing that day. That's one less day I have. So if I don't go up that day, or if I don't make an average increase at some measuring point in my life, I've lost those opportunities. So I'm actually in decline. So we must look at it like that, is every day with the Lord is an opportunity to learn something more about him and to grow in grace and knowledge. Our amazement, you know, may have diminished a bit since we first came to the Lord, but we can all agree that the wisdom and knowledge of God is true riches indeed to us. The wisdom of God. We cannot find the end of God's wisdom and God's knowledge. We scratch the surface and it amazes us. We grow into the Word of God and we read some things and it just amazes us at the depth of it, the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's just amazing what we see. But the way that God moves in our personal world and heals, the Lord has been touching a lot of people in this church. Brother Juan was telling me a while ago, he said, we prayed for me and his heart was really hurting last week. And he said, it is so much better now after prayer. After prayer, it's so much better after God touched me. And when we're seeing things, God's touched Lacey. Thank God for that. And many others that have just, God has touched you in your body. And we pray for those that aren't here. I expect that I'm going to hear a report that God has touched them. In other words, we must have an expectancy that when we have prayer requests, we're going to have testimonies. It's not just a function, a rudimentary activity that we go through, but we should expect, Lord, we are praying for people, so we are going to have victory reports. Amen. Because if we expect it, we're going to receive it. And I realize we can get into ruts. I get into them, and we expect, well, I'm going to go get prayed for, lay hands on me, and go back, and I'm going to see my doctor tomorrow. Y'all pray for me. I'll probably be out 2 or 3 weeks. But we just prayed for you. We all think like that. I do too. But we go through the process. Got to be prayed for. You know, it's just one of those things. And it happens to us. It happens to us. But Matthew 13 and 44, one of my favorite parables, because it's so powerful in a little small dose. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. Sold out, bought the field. He knew what the treasure was worth. He knew what his house and his garage and his riding lawnmower and everything he had in the backyard, the doghouse and the dog, he knew everything that was worth, and he saw a treasure and said, I got to have the field and I want the treasure because I want to have rightful ownership of the treasure. His wife thought he was crazy. Honey, don't worry about it. I know what I saw. I know what it's about. We're moving to the field. We're selling out. We're moving over there. The kingdom of heaven is like unto that treasure. The kingdom is that treasure that when we find it, I realize the new goat wears off sometimes. We have ups, we have downs. Saints have them. Pastors have them. Trust me, we all have ups and downs. We have days when it's like, I just don't feel too churchy. No, really, we all have those days like that. Honestly, midweek, about 4:30, there's this feeling that comes over me like I could just take a 4-hour nap. I don't know where it comes from. Never did it. I'm always here. But I'm going to take one tonight and hope it's longer than 4 hours, 4.5. But in the long run, and we're in it for the long run. We really are in this for the long run. In the long run, the good times are going to outweigh the bad. And I'm going to prove, and you're going to prove, that this treasure is worth everything. If we allow it to draw interest, if we put it to use, it's worth everything. If I back up and I get entangled with the things of this world, then the treasure is not going to mean much, is it? But if I can invest in that treasure and invest myself in that treasure, God will give you and me an increase, and we will come shouting in here saying, God has already done another miracle in our life. He's a good God. He's going to do something again. What we all are is living and breathing testimonies. We are the testimonies, Paul said, written of all men. Amen. This is us. We're the ones that prove that this stuff is real. Our lives prove that it's real. The fact I'm excited about it after these years, the fact that you love this life after all these years means this stuff is real. It really does work. Amen. Amen. The sad thing about television preachers, a lot of sad things, the makeup they use and everything, like they're afraid to get, oh, that's awful. But the the other sad thing about it is their main thing, whether they have an 8-minute sermon or something, but their main thing is, not all of them, I'm sure there's some good ones there, but the main thing is that little caption at the bottom with that address where you can send or text your gift and save a bunch of things and people and invest in, but that's their main thing is keep the money coming in. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter if you're a rock star, a rapper, if you're a dancer, if you're whatever, Hollywood, it doesn't matter what you are. If you're making a bunch of money, you can be the most God-fearing televangelist in the world. But when the money starts coming in, it will corrupt anybody. And they get addicted to that money, and you cannot pry their hands off of it for the most part. And so they're all about that little caption that says, please send it into this address right here. There's pictures you've probably seen in the news when the FBI raided the headquarters of such and such. You know, years ago, that was a big deal. And they'd go in there, and there'd be stacks of money, stacks of just money on tables, and they're just counting it and putting it in the bank. And I remember looking at a picture of that, they had a picture in one of the magazines or the Ledger years ago, and I thought, I just had one stack of that for our church, just one stack. We'd have a new sound system. We would have new pews, new chairs. And here it's tables full of just, that's not the kingdom. You know, that's telling people, you bless me, and I'll enjoy it a whole lot, and God will take care of you too. The treasure hidden in the field, of course, we know all of that. We have fun talking about it in that regard. But the thing is, the sad part that I started all that to say, they're missing the main point. Totally missing the main point. Missing it. It's not about the gold and silver. It's about this wonderful life we're living here on earth. God is blessing us. He adds to us. The word add. He adds to our faith. You get a little bit of faith, and God's going to add to your faith. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, how and why you got here is very important. This man in the parable was obviously very much in need of the treasure. Your story may be like mine. Your mother took you to church. Your dad said, you got to go. Come on. I'm glad for that. I'm wondering if I would have went if somebody would have invited me if I was 18 or 20 years old. Honestly, if I'd have had that many years to not live for God, would I be the one? I don't know. Pray it would. It's foolish to think about it, I guess. No use. But some come just for the treasure, and they fail to build the relationship. Because the treasure without the paying for it, you know, it's not going to mean anything. And if you don't have a relationship, you're not going to understand the value of it. And others may come for the treasure, but only if they can get it for, you know, less than what they're asking. And if I can get it for a better deal. Others buy the field and they later bring some other of their old junk back onto the field. I'm attached to my stuff. And they buy the field and God blesses them, but they bring the old life back onto the field. And before long, they're living like they used to live instead of investing. Because what this thing is, if we continue to do it right, and if we pray with faith believing, and we invest in this thing, in the promises of God, every need you have, He will take care of it. He won't answer it the way you need it to, but the way He knows how to do it. And He will bless you and set you up and send you on your way and give you a posterity. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your children's children. Those are promises in the Word of God. He will do that for us. Oh God, when you add to us, it's an amazing and an awesome thing when God adds to what we have. Thank you, Lord, for the addition. Amen. Now, we're renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. I'm going to read it and stop a little bit through here. But verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." At the best this power can be, at the best this experience is, the arrow points to God, not to us. The excellency, the rising above, that part where it redeems us. And we're being renewed day by day, Paul said. It's not a done deal. I don't reflect back to November of 1968 and say, that was my time right there. Thank the Lord that I've had more experiences than 1968. I'm glad that God has continued to bless me and teach me and draw me closer to Him. But this is an ongoing process. Our treasure is the power of God working within us. And if I never changed since being 8 years old, if that was my memory of my touch with God, I would have a hard time even remembering that. Thank the Lord that that was my entry. That's how I got here. That's when I was born again. But there's been experiences that top that experience over and over again because we add to this. God has added to this. And I'm glad we're not still back there saying, well, you know, I repented and He forgave me. And oh, thank the Lord that there's more to it than just that right there. Thank the Lord. There's power, and then there's that rising above that power, the excellency. The excellency. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Can you say amen? Have you ever been troubled on every side? You had ouch, ouch, whoa, and then you go to your friend and they're like, please, not today. Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah, we've been troubled on every side. We know what it's like to be troubled, to go to your default friend and they're like, I'm tired of hearing you. All right, I'm going to pray a prayer about you and I'm not going to tell you what it's about. We've been there. We've all been there. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down. Anybody here been destroyed yet? We've been cast down. Not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also. Now don't pass that up without thinking about it. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. Sacrifice. Life is a sacrifice sometimes. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We're walking around, carrying about, demonstrating the dying of the Lord Jesus. Sacrificial. Lord, I'm not doing everything I want to do. Amen. If we did everything we wanted to do, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't either. But we couldn't sustain our relationship if we did everything our flesh said, let's do that. We couldn't do that. We just bearing about in the body. So that also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We're delivered to places where we have to deny ourselves. We're delivered unto death. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, he said, but life by you. Death means I've got to crucify this guy over and over again. If I don't crucify me, if I don't put me down and subject my will to His will, and I don't die out to some things, then what happens is I live and He doesn't live within me. He lives, but I'm separate and apart from Him. So this guy's got to, we have to die out because that's the addition that we need to get a hold of. I'm adding to my faith, Lord, help us today that we can add to our faith. So then death worketh in us, he said, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. What Paul is saying here is he says, now, we as ministers understand they were doing the groundwork for the church that we now enjoy. This doctrine we have, Simon Peter killed earlier than any of them. James was killed with the sword by Herod. And the Apostle Paul boiled in oil, stoned, shipwrecked, all of these things, left for dead, and all of these matters. Yet Paul remained until God was through with him. And of course, John on an island by himself to write Revelations and other works and live longer than any of them. But the Lord gave them difficult tasks. And so what Paul is saying is, we are living a life of sacrifice so that we might present you to Christ and that you might be able to live for him. The church wasn't going through everything that Paul was going through. God didn't demand that out of the church. So what he's saying is, the fact that we're dying, the fact that we're giving up our life over and over again, by doing that we're seeing more glory, we're experiencing more miracles, but it's death in us, but life in you, because God is answering your prayers. One of the examples of this was it tells us about Barnabas, from an island, and he sold some land and brought it to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira went, whoa, he got all patted on the back for that. Let us do it too. So they sold land and brought their money to the church, but they lied about the money. This is early in the church. And they said, how much did you sell it for? And they lied, and they'd agreed together. And Ananias came first and said, yeah, they sold it for 50, and he said 40, or whatever. They lied about the amount so they could keep part of it back. Nothing wrong with keeping part of it back, but they had conspired to tell a lie. And when he spoke, he fell dead. A few hours later, his wife came in, and Simon said, so did you sell it for this much or that much? How much did you sell it for? And she told the same number, so he knew they were together. And he said, the feet of those that just buried your husband are on their way to get you. He said that for reference sake. He didn't say it for Sapphira's sake, because she was hearing her last words and she was going to die. The church had uprisings. It had people that were skimmed off the top and couldn't make it. And it caused great fear, and it caused them to add to their experiences a great fear of God, but a respect for his word. And so Paul is saying, you're not having to go through everything we are, but there was some trouble people went through to get the church to the point that it was. Amen? So, knowing that he which raised up Jesus shall raise us up also by him and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving as many, redound to the glory of God. Verse 16 is my key on this. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man suffers. But inside, this experience we have through God, this holy investment that God has made, it's being renewed day by day. Even though we face trouble and temptations, the inner working of God's Spirit in us produces the glory of God by our abundant faith. It's a process of addition, and God wants us to add. Verse 17, for our light affliction, and sometimes you might go, oh yeah, it's not light to me, this is pretty heavy. But realize, Paul's comparing this to the glory in the end. This here is light affliction. He saw some things. He was carried up, he said, into the third heaven. And, he goes, I don't know that much about it other than I can't even tell you how awesome it was. So when you've seen awesome, when you've seen heaven, nothing in this life is anything but it's light affliction. Have you ever just thought about this, realized that this life is, like James said, it is a vapor. It's not the one. If we invest everything on this vapor, We really are missing the point. Sometimes it's good to back away and realize this is passing away. This is a vapor. I've got to do everything for this, but mainly I'm investing in my heavenly life, because this one is going to mean what I'm going to have in the kingdom age. Teach on that again one of these days. I love talking about that. There is a kingdom age, amen, and we are going to reign with him as kings and priests. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't think I want to reign as the lowest order, because I don't want to barely get there. I want to get there, not flying colors, but I want to do as good as I can. Wouldn't it be a bummer? I'm speculating here. Wouldn't it be a bummer to get your reward and here we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, and the Lord to say, you were so close to being a level 6, and you just almost, you could have been so good. What was it, Lord? Well, you remember that time you was kind of worried about your job? You remember that? Yeah. You remember what you did? Oh, please don't even remind me. that was a tipping point. No, I don't believe it comes down to those kinds of things. Amen. The human mind starts speculating heavenly things. We fall woefully short. We really can't. We can't really go there. But we know that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to add to my faith eternal values, because temporal ones don't work. They don't work. Here, you know, the addition takes place. Our light affliction, the daily temptations and trials work in us a higher character that earns us an eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. We're earning something that's going to have an eternal significance in our life. That is an awesome thing right there. And besides being an eternal benefit, it brings God's glory into our present world. Win-win. It's a double win. Thank the Lord. We're blessed today, and we're blessed eternally for it. Jeremiah 48:11. Just this one verse. Moab hath been at ease from his youth and hath settled on his lees. The sediment, what gives it the flavor? He said his flavor remained. He hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. He hasn't been emptied from vessel to vessel. He's just right there. He's had an easy, cushy life. And so he's right there. No one's been able to sample. Nobody's been able to know the good that he is or that he has. Moab's really, really had it easy. And what he's saying is Moab had not been through trouble or acquainted with grief. And his flavor's just, he is what he is. No trouble. There are those who resist the working of the Spirit. And to be real simple, sometimes we may live in a certain way at a distance with God, and we wouldn't be able to handle a trial. It's really the truth. Sometimes we can't handle a trial. The Lord is gentle with us, and he's kind to us, but he could not let the wind blow too strongly because we just aren't holding on that tight. But in other areas of our life, when we grow in grace and knowledge, we begin to dig footers. We begin to get more grounded, and you'll go through some things, and you'll hold on. But the wonderful thing about trials, the Lord doesn't roll the dice. He doesn't just say, well, I'm going to throw something at you. I don't know what it's going to be. No, no. God orders your life. And the things I'm holding on for dear life for today, when I come back around next season, I don't even hold on. I'm like, I've been through all this. This is nothing. Isn't it true that what once is a trial just hardly gets your attention the next time you go by? Like, yeah, I've been through that. Do any of you remember when you couldn't reach the light switch? I do. I remember just thinking, if only I could touch that light switch, I'd have to get a chair and come over there. And I remember finally I could jump up and I could touch it. And I would have to do it carefully because I would go up and then I would pull it back down and be like, oh. And I'd jump and jump. And I remember when I could finally jump up and turn it on, I could then jump up and turn it off. And one day I tiptoed. And by the time I could walk up to a light switch and go on and off, I didn't even care anymore. It didn't matter. They put them at the height that when you can reach them, you don't care about it anymore. That's the way trials are. They're trials because they need to try you. But there's a point where it's like, and I don't even give it a glance. Moab, no, it just never happened to Moab. It's set right there. Never were able to even accept a trial. You can't even understand the hand of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1 through 15. I may not get through all of these, but I'll be quick. I'm not going to take too long tonight. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior. So, now, by knowing God through his word and daily relationships, we build a place where grace and peace can be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. We need to realize those words were written there for us. You know, my wife's not here, so, you know, I can tell this story. be cool, people. one of the first times I ate fried chicken at their house, and her mother can evermore fix some fried chicken. And I like fried chicken, the flavor, but I don't really eat the skin. I will a little bit, but then I'll take it off and get right to the meat. I like the meat. And I don't know if it's her mother or her dad or who just reached over and said, "You are leaving the best part," and took that crust. And it is good, but I was more into that meat. And they said, "You don't know how to eat chicken, do you?" I think I'm having a good time, but that's how they were. That's just they had a way you eat chicken. And I was kind of an amateur chicken eater, I suppose you might say. I don't know. But see, by knowing God through His Word in the daily relationship, we build a place where grace and peace can be multiplied. We get to a place where we can enjoy every part of it. It's multiplied. They think I'm missing out. I thought, you folks, come on. But I understand where they're at because it does have a good flavor to it. It sometimes upsets my stomach. But we need to get a relationship to where grace and peace is multiplied and we know what this is all about. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, I've highlighted. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now again, it's His power that provides all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, realize this, and I know we get this, but here's a reminder. When the power of God is working in you, it doesn't mean that feeling when you're worshiping God. The power of God can be working in you to give you a little bit more patience than you had yesterday. That is the power of God. Think about what you can get in life if you can stand still a little bit longer until you see the glory or the evidence of God working. That's the power of God. Think about how much a little more patience is, or a little more perseverance, but continuing to pray when you don't feel anything. Because that scripture says, when you pray, pray until you feel goosebumps. No, there is no scripture about what you're going to feel. And so sometimes it's just that maturity in the Word of God that you hold on and you press towards the mark, and then you walk away. You don't have one sign that God's doing anything. But because you've matured in the Lord, you know, I've laid it down, Lord, I've given it to You. And whatever You do is up to You. And you go about your business knowing God's got it in His hands. You wake up the next day and sure enough, there's God working and He's already begun to do a mighty thing, and you give Him all the glory. That builds a relationship right there. That's when you say, this stuff works, this stuff works, this stuff works. I want you to hear this again. Broke record, I know. There is not one thing in your life that you desire that prayer won't change. There's just two things that'll happen. As you pray to God, your prayer will bring Him closer, and you will see the situation, and you'll either stop praying and redirect your aim, or God will change it the way you're asking Him to. But it doesn't matter. Continual effort of prayer changes and brings the glory of God into your life. That's why this is the greatest life there is to live. It is the greatest life. It is the greatest life. I've prayed for God to give me jobs. Then I've got on a job and said, God, give me a raise. Give me the position that He's got instead of the one I have. And I've seen God do those kind of things. Just do it with faith, believing, and let your Father do the work for you. God is so able. This is an awesome thing. Add to your faith. Don't just say, I believe God. Add to your faith, because there's a whole world out there. So by which we have been given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. What do people do that lust? They want things. They want things. If I want things and I pray about them and I don't need things, my prayer is going to convict me and I'm going to turn away from those things and start wanting God. So I'm going to go to Him and have the relationship first, and then the relationship will get me the other things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, we pray amiss sometimes because we go for the things instead of the Creator of the things. He's good to us. He really is. Again, it's His power that provides the things that pertain to life and godliness. Add to your faith. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and this is really where I centered my idea on tonight. To knowledge, self-control; to self-control, perseverance; perseverance, godliness; to godliness, brotherly kindness; brotherly kindness, love; Seven virtues here that we should add. I'm not going to go into all of them. Don't have time. Someday. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Add these things, no more stumbling. Clear 2020 spiritual vision. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in this present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I myself must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. The other day I was reading about in the book of Acts, and it was when Apostle Paul was coming in, and Simon Peter was being, you know, kind of, you stopped hearing about him. There's a certain chapter, like around 9, where here's Apostle, here's, there goes Peter. And it said, and Peter went about doing many things. And I'd never, ever thought about this before. And it kind of goes in with this. Peter went about doing many things. Peter was not standing still. But I wondered when I read that, could it be? Because when the Lord spoke to him and said, lovest thou me, you know, three times. And then this was, you know, after he'd risen, and he allowed him to tell Jesus, yeah, Lord, you know I love you, three times. And then he said, you know, I want to tell you something. What's going to happen to you is you're going to be stretched out. Remember how they used to take you when you was little? You're going to be stretched out. And he let Peter understand through that kind of cryptic sentencing that you're going to be stretched out and crucified. And then he intimated that John, not you, you're not going to be that way. And the disciples thought he meant John's going to live forever. And Lord, what's the deal? We want to live forever. Don't let us be like Simon. But Simon knew that he was not going to live a long time. And he was the first of those to die. And I wondered the purpose, perhaps, of the Lord telling him, Peter, you're going to be like me. And history says he was, but upside down. He said, you know, to crucify me upside down, not worthy. And I wonder if the reason the Lord told him that was so that he would do everything he could in the amount of time he had. I want to do it all, Lord. I want to be sure I don't run out of time. And then the next thought was, Lord, we need to be all just that able and anxious to do your work now. Work while it is day. I don't want to get, well, I'm already in my 50s, so, but let's pretend if I was in my 20s, I would say, I don't want to get into my 50s and say, I wish I would have done more. The thing is, it's not hard work living for God. It's an awesome life. It is an awesome life. Add to your faith. You know, here we see clearly that our walk with God demands additions that compromise the spirit nature of God. Sometimes it demands these additions that compromise the spirit and nature. Adding is going to certainly remove the chance of us falling and failing. And where there's content or where there's constant additions, there will be, by default, no subtraction. That's the thing right there. If I'm adding to my nature, if I'm adding to what God has given me, then there's not going to be that falling away, that slowing down, that I don't think I can make it. If I'm involved in a process, and I, you know, when I say a process, we go through cycles. There's sometimes God's working on your patience, working on your faith, working on your virtue. If we are consistent and we just say, God, do your will, let your will be done, we're not going to be losing. And I think that's the greatest thing right there, is we're going to be adding and great things are going to be coming to us. And one who lacks these things, he said, is short-sighted even to blindness, forgetting that he was cleansed from sin. And one scripture, and I'm done. Matthew 9, 16 through 17. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. And we don't think about this nowadays, you know, when we don't patch things up much. I remember roller skates tore my jeans up. Wrecks on my bike tore my jeans up. And Mom would bring the jeans in, and after a while she'd take a patch. And I didn't mind patches, you know. Patches were kind of cool at school for a season there, so I didn't mind patches. It looked like you was a bad daddy. And she'd sew them on there, and I'd go to school with patches on and repair it. And she'd say, now, if you tear that patch, that's it. But What the Bible's talking about is when they would mend a cloth, if that fabric was not put in water and dried out and shrunk already, then you put it on there and it would shrink the stuff that wasn't shrunk, and it's not going to work. It's going to tear the cloth. And he said, no one puts that unshrunk cloth on there, or the way I pull away the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, wine bottles, or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Basically, all that means, Lord, we've got this awesome experience. In order for it to work, we've got to be renewed day by day. New wineskins. I've got to renew myself. I cannot be what I was 10 years ago, not even 10 months ago. I have to constantly grow in grace and knowledge. And as we grow, we adapt to these things. And the process takes care of itself. It really does. Through prayer, fasting, through the Word of God, worship. It takes care of itself. And that's what this is about. Amen? Let us stand. And I've told our music, I said, we don't have to have music to close the night. We're going to pray, and we're going to just ask God to touch us and bless us and let the Word have its work in us. Amen. Not just here, but as we go out in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank you, Father, today for your Word. Thank you, God, today that it lives and abides forever. And God, I ask you that you would sharpen our minds today, God, that we can see this, hold on to it, remember it, and allow us to walk in your Word, God, daily, daily, God. And I pray you continue, Lord, to strengthen the church together, God, and let your presence always be with us. And give us, I pray, revival. Give us a great outpouring on Sunday. Father, we ask these things in your great name. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Men, don't forget barbecue, 4:30, Annex.